views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Today is October the 24th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to call in, definitely give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. I am your host, Dave from L.A., with the co-host, Pastor Keith, is in the building. Pastor Keith, you got to stop wearing colors in shirts similar to mine. That's not cool, okay? All right, so we got to get that squared away. So, hey, everyone, I just want to say thank you. Today is going to be a very, very significant show, in my opinion. Definitely want you to be a part of it. And the reason why this show is going to be so important because of the relative things that are going on in the world and around us right now. And today's show for October the 24th, 2018, is because the horrors. Today's topic is the horrors which have come to them. That's the name of today's show, The Horror, which had come to them. And that is on going to be today's show. And I just want to say big up to Pastor Keith holding it down today for us. But everyone, the reason why we have Tando Radio Show is because of Black Talk Radio Network. And we need you to support Black Talk Radio Network. We need you to make donations to this network so that it will remain on air and remain here going forward. And it is a grassroots organization that was put together for you in the demographics of your community at large, because mainstream media was not servicing or giving an opportunity for you to get information outside of propagandized agendas, and to get you to start asking questions and to thinking for yourself. So this is a very, very important platform, and the only way it stays on air is with your financial support. So please, 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 if you would, if you would, please go to www.blacktalkradionetwork and hit find a donation prompt, hit the donation prompt, make a donation so this network can continue to grow and continue to be here giving you what you have deemed as being necessary and relevant. It's very important that you feed the roots instead of just purely eating the fruit, else the tree will go bare. So please definitely do that. You can also support the network by being a part of a social media platform known as BTR Community. You can find that at www.btrcommunity. It is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without having to worry about someone selling your identity. So that's a great, great reason why to do it. So for $24 a year, you can be a member inside of BTR Community and do your regular social media posting, and actually benefit from it the way that you can't on FedBook, Facebook, and all the other ones, okay? Also, if you would like to acquire real money, which you need to be doing, exchanging your cash, your currency, into a savings of money. You use cash, which you should use cash for, as a medium of exchange for some of the immediate essentials of life, to maintain your standard of living, your quality of life. That's what you use cash for. But you should never, ever save in cash. You should actually save in money. And that's very, very important. You can do that at prosperitymint.com. Prosperitymint.com is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your currency for cash. At some point, Chief, you won't be able to. Prosperity Mint won't accept cash for the overall money. But until then, you should take advantage of that. And the reason why Prosperity Mint is able to do that is because it's able to take the cash that it acquires and then go and acquire more money. So it definitely does that. So that's why it's so, so important. So definitely go to Prosperity Mint, check it out. Check out what's in inventory, then email info@prosperitymint so that someone can contact you. Just say, hey, I'm a Tando radio show listener. Dave told me to contact you. And someone will get in contact with you to explain the purchasing process that's happening. And I definitely will see that a lot of things are going to change. And it's going to be much more difficult to do things. And Keith said quickly. So let's get into what's in the news because we got a lot going on for today's show. And let me just get into the chat real quickly. Man, is there's a bunch of different stuff, but we're going to get into this right away. And let me really quickly, there's something that I wanted to post. Scotty, I'm going to post a YouTube video in the chat room. And I just want to play 3 minutes of it. And it's going to be from the 44 minute and 45 second. And it's going to go to 7 minutes. It's going to go to 7 minutes and 30 seconds. So it's a real, real short one. It's from Lying Like a Fox News. And it's going to be celebrity figurehead Trump said something that was very, very significant, in my opinion, yesterday. It was a bunch of different stuff, but I will get to. I just thought that this was much more appropriate and important yesterday that we actually dissect this and is significant. So I posted it there, Scotty. I'm gonna put the seconds in. It's gonna be a minute 4:45, 4th minute and 45th second. Let me just find this real quickly.
A, it's being discussed right now. Mike Bolton is.
Oh, well, not yet, Scotty. Thanks to the 7 minute and 30 second mark. Thanks, Scotty. And then just wanted to put that in there for you. Don't want to hear the whole thing, but we'll get to that in a minute. Very, very significant for today's show. And once again, the name of today's show, the topic of today's show, the horrors which have come to them, is today's show. All right, so first article we posted inside of what's in the news. The caravan could, this was from Cerebrally Naive Network. The caravan could be weeks away from the U.S. border. Check out that article. I want to run through these really, really quickly because we got a lot of stuff and I want to get into today's show. Next article, this one is from Fox News. Is a video clip from Fox News, not the one that we're going to play today. And I said, this is what mainstream media calls nationalism, but is nothing short of evil. So check out that whole video that's there. Next article from RT International, very important one. Bolden met with celebrity figurehead President Vladimir Putin. And this is from RT International. And this is what Putin asked Bolden in a jokingly fashion, but was very serious, but kind of laughed while he was doing it at their meeting, sitting across the table from each other. And he says, has the eagle eaten all of the olives? Putin jokes with Bolden about U.S.'s belligerency. And so what it is, you know, in the the symbol of the left wing and the right wing of the bird of prey, the eagle. And the left talon, it has the 13 arrows of war, and in the right talon, it has the olives, the branch olives, known as the peace olive, peace branch olives. Well, you need to check this out, and let me just really quickly pull this article up. I think I already have it up. Yep. Really quickly, let me just go over this real quickly. I want to, because we're not going to be able to play it. I want to play it later on at some other time, but now's not the time. Let me just say this. And here's from the article. The meeting with the U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton in Moscow yesterday, Vladimir Putin made a comment about Washington's hostility that went right over the hawkish diplomat's head. And it did, because Putin was sending a clear, decisive message. And here's what happened. And this is what it said. Putin said, quote, "As far as I can remember, the U.S. coat of armor features a bald eagle that holds 13 arrows in one talon and an olive branch in the another, which is the symbol of peace and loving peace-loving policy," Putin said to Bolton in a meeting yesterday in Moscow. "I have a question." Putin said, "I have a question." The president added, "Looks like your eagle has already eaten all of the olives. Are the arrows all that is left?" And it went over Bolton's head. Bolton, who reportedly presumed that U.S. celebrity figurehead Trump would withdraw from the intermediate range nuclear deal. And this was Bolton's reply. "I didn't bring any more olives. That's what I thought," Putin said in reply. Putin said, "That's what I thought." The Russian president said it would be very useful to continue direct talks with Trump. So what happened here is that, you know, what happened here is that at the end, Bolton said everything that he was going to say, and then he says, "I didn't bring any more olives. And as a matter of fact, the olives are in the right talon." And so he was trying to, but see, what Putin was saying is that we already know that you've eaten all of the branches of loving, peaceful. We know what you're all about, at love and peace. We know that you don't bring any olives of peace anywhere in the world, because you've eaten them all. And the only thing that you have is the arrows of war. And what the message was, and when Putin said, "I didn't think so," that means that they are ready to meet you militarily now. That's what was going on there. So I wanted to really get into that today's show, but because of what's been happening, won't get into that. So check out that article. We're going to go back to what's in the news real quickly and get going. Next article. And this is the one that we're going to play. It's from the YouTube of celebrity figurehead Trump. He says that, "I am a nationalist and proud of it." So we're going to check that out. Very, very important, very significant from what we were ending on yesterday's show to what's going to be going on. Next article from from South China Morning Post. Taiwan plans live fire drills in the Spratly Islands, likely to anger China and Vietnam. Check out that article. Next article from the Jerusalem Post. Lieberman, who was the celebrity figurehead defense secretary in Israel, vows tough response in Gaza, says Israel has no choice but war. That's what he said. Next article from Press TV. Celebrity figurehead Donald Trump says Khashoggi's murder done poorly and the cover-up was the worst. U.S. President Trump had blasted the Saudi efforts to hide the killing of dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the kingdom's diplomatic mission in Istanbul. And Trump said this was the worst cover-up ever, but indicated that he would not end arms sales from Washington to the Middle East. But see, what celebrity figurehead Trump did was he gave himself away. He actually showed that the U.S. was complicit in this whole thing. He said this is the worst case. They botched it all up, is basically what he said. And the quote that was really, really significant, and I'm rushing through this because I really wanted to get into today's show, is that here is what Trump said. They had a very bad original concept. This dude tells on himself purposely. They had a very bad original concept. It was carried out poorly, and the cover-up was the worst in the history of cover-ups, Trump's told reporters yesterday.
Hey,
they had
Dave.
The worst cover-up ever.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this morning, but it's sort of related. It's a number of outlets that are reporting. The Intercept is the one that actually broke the story and has the source, but they're saying that it's possible that Jared Kushner gave MBS, the Saudi prince, a hit list that that was classified information. The intelligence agencies raised concerns about that, but saying that this journalist name may have also been on there. So remember when MBS was doing the purge?
Yes.
Over there? Well, this was after allegedly or reportedly Kushner had gave him these names, which saying that, you know, they weren't loyal to the crown or whatever. And then when you look at the business ties that Kushner and Trump has in Saudi Arabia, they're not honest actors in this either. So
nope.
I didn't know if you had known about this story. I just saw it this morning.
Yeah, definitely did. And we posted it. Pastor Keith showed me an article, and we posted it from, what's the name of it? Daily Calls. Yeah, I pulled it down. I posted it here in Daily Calls. Kushner gives Saudi Crown Prince a hit list of enemies from the U.S. intelligence, including Khashoggi. God, I'm talking about Khashoggi was on that list. And remember, Keith, Scotty, and listeners, last week when we did the show, I said that watch how this thing starts to unfold. It's going to go right back to Jared. And it's going to show the intelligence side of this whole thing was going to be there. And this was because of what happened in the purge. And right after Jared left from Saudi Arabia earlier in the year, that's when the overall roundup and the coup started. And this is how I knew that this is all tied together and it's going to be even further. And remember, I always say this in jest, Scotty's favorite person, and that's the CIA director, because Scotty's so right about when he talks about her. How was this lady even the CIA director when she authorized and she was all involved in torture and waterboarding and justified and everything else? And they made her, when they were trying to confirm her, Scotty was talking about, do you really understand what you're doing here? This woman is in everything, and how complicit it was. It all goes together. And remember, she's in Istanbul right now. And yesterday, Erdogan was supposed to release some very damaging information on the whole thing. But guess what? He held back because it's a Trump card that's in there. That's why she had to get on a plane and go. Because of the ties are off. And it's right now it's going to seem like what you'll see is this. Things will simmer down for a minute, then they're going to explode and they're all going to tie back in. It's definitely moving in a very bad direction. So, yes, Scotty, I did see that. And we definitely want to, at the appropriate, definitely have some part of that. Very, very important. Next article from, I got this one from Shrievely Naive Network. Is talks about Saudi Arabia's business future investment from what they call Davos in the desert went off yesterday and has been going off, and they've been doing a lot of business, over $50 billion in trade so far that was reported being done. And this was from the CNN, Cerebrally Naive Network, aka CNN Business. Saudi Arabia signs business deal worth $50 billion at Davos in the desert. So check out that article. Let me see if I can get out of this. All right, cool. Next article. This one's from RT International. And this was at the Davos and Endeavors. Crown Prince Solomon nearly crushed by selfie-hungry Saudis form groups. And if you look at this from RT International, the celebrity figurehead Crown Prince MBS is rushed. It's so many people trying to get selfies with him in this whole thing. And in here, I noticed something possibly that I haven't seen in a while. It looks like Prince Bin Awali, the Awid, the one that's been missing for a while. I think I see him here in this because he's very distinctive in his glasses and everything else. How, and I think I saw him. So remember, I said I hadn't seen him in a while. He's one of the most high profile Saudi princes that has made been known for his investing prowess with Citigroup, with Ritz Carlton and with Apple and a bunch of other different things. So he went missing. They snatched him up and told him to report to Saudi Arabia, and he had to go back, just like they were trying to get Khashoggi to do and everything else. And so I think I did see him here. So, but check out that next article I got from the Atlantic. The EU has rejected Italy's budget. That's just what Rome wanted. Check out that article. The economy is going to be falling and is all a part of the strings that are being pulled. Next article from CNBC. Former Chair Paul Volcker thinks we're in a hell of a mess. Former Fed Chair Paul Volcker thinks we're in a hell of a mess. Very, very important. If you don't know who Paul Volcker was, Paul Volcker was instrumental in actually starting the overall process to kill Gaddafi. Back when Gaddafi first had the coup to take over Libya, because he was a part of the Hunt brothers' cornering of the silver market with Marcos of the Philippines, and an unnamed Saudi crown prince. I think it was a crown prince, and it possibly is the king now. So very, very significant in that whole thing. And Paul Volcker was the overall Fed chair that was used to nullify the Hunt family and to nullify Gaddafi. That's where Gaddafi became public enemy number one. That's where it started. So this individual is significant here. And he says, we're in a hell of a mess. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Bloomberg. Bloomberg's a big secret in Japan's debt market is getting harder to keep. Check out that article. Next article from the Atlantic, Erdogan's big reveal that wasn't. And this is what I was talking about earlier, because they're going to hold on to that like a Trump card. And they actually, this is what they, it's strategical play right now. Next article from the LA Times, paid protesters, they're real. And a Beverly Hills firm that hires them stands accused of extortion in a lawsuit from the LA Times. Check out that article. Very significant, and is going to be significant. Next article from RT International. The American dream is dead. Excuse me, the American dream is over. The U.S. economy is about to collapse. Taking down the dollar and American standard of living, Peter Schiff said at RT yesterday. Check out that article. Next one from Reuters. Factsbox. Who are the 15 Saudis who came to Turkey ahead to carry out the murder of Khashoggi? Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Nationalist. Trump exhibits all the symptoms of a hardcore globalist. And they all go together. This is going to be the mainstay of today's show, and it's something that very, very important I want you to hear, pay close attention to, and I want to bring something to you so that you can make decisions that's in your best interest. Next article comes from Sputnik News. And this one is saying caravan on the U.S. border ahead of the midterms. What is known so far? So check out that article as well. Next article that we got to get into is Russia Insider. Cold War in Africa is brewing. Let me pull it up. Okay, New Cold War, Africa. Russia bolsters military advisors in Central Africa's Republic. Yes, the overall fight for resources and the overall continent is going to be one of the mainstays for that. Next article from Strategic Culture.
Why do you go into that, though? Wouldn't that be primarily between China and Russia?
I think, yes, Keith, and I said on air here before, the U.S. is already defeated, and they're going to, in my opinion, cut the U.S. up as the overall treasures of winning the war and to pay for war reparations, just as Germany had to do. And when they do that, the spoils of that is they're going to take and divide up the United States. And after a while, there will be a place where Russia and China will go to war, and that war will be over mainly the continent of what's going on in Africa. So on the continent. So, well, yes. So you prepare for that way, way in advance because you already know that you've defeated the U.S.
And really, if you look at it from that perspective, that's not going to be over that continent. That's going to actually be over global dominance.
Yeah, right. Global dominance, right. And the continent is going to be significant in that because global dominance will be determined by those that control the resources. Right, Keith. So well said. Next article from Strategic Culture, America's War Declaration. Check out that. Next article from RT International. Sale must go on. Trudeau sticks to $12 billion arms deal with Saudis despite Khashoggi's killings. Next article from The Atlantic. What Trump doesn't understand about the Central American caravan. And basically is what Scotty said. Ask those people why they're doing it. What's the real reason why they're doing it? Check out that article. Next article. And it's all a part of a, in my overall opinion, is going to be used as a tool to destabilize. Next article from CNBC, criminals, nothing but criminals. One day decline in shares, companies reported earning tracked as the worst in 7 years. The actual corporate earnings is the worst in 7 years right now. That's significant in the overall economic paradigm. Next article, Rise posted $1.6 billion debt note. Here's the Tuesday's Mega Million number for $1.6 billion jackpot. Check out the article. Next article we got from RT International, explosive devices found near Bill and Hillary Clinton's home. There was also one that was picked up at Obama's and a Time Warner building in New York, which is all over the news right now. And it's all going to be a part of what's going on here as we continue to move towards the events that we should be preparing for. Next article from The Atlantic. There's no easy way for Trump to stop the latest caravan. Very true. Next article from Daily Kos. This is the one that Keith sent me. Thanks, Pastor Keith. Kushner gave the Saudi crown prince a hit list, and this is what we talked about earlier and what Scotty had talked about. Next article from Freedom Outpost, Rise posted this. Global banking stocks are crashing hard, just as they did in 2008. So next article, Rise said, keep my family in prayer. Yes, definitely will. And this was Caribbean News Daily. It was trying to pull it up. OECS ready to share disaster migration knowledge following Trinidad and Tobago's flood. So Trinidad and Tobago is experiencing some major flooding. Yes, Roz, we will definitely keep the family in prayer and in our thoughts and send our energy to them. Roz posted that one. Next article, this one is from Green Med Info. Breyer stock crash after Monsanto's cancer's verdict upheld by the judge. Analysts estimate $800 billion in future liabilities. $800 billion in future liabilities. Yes. Huh? Actually, because they bought Monsanto, so they're going to be hit with the overall liabilities in tunes of $800 billion in future liabilities for the Roundup and Monsanto's using basically chemical warfare against the overall general population by way of their product. So, yeah, it was Bayer, picked up that up. So next article, very important one. This is going to be very, very strategically important from RT International. International terrorism found through international terrorism funded through U.S. food stamp program, a report says. They are going to use this and everything else economically. This is going to strike and hurt and harm the people. So check out that article. We'll maybe touch on some of that. But hey, I got to get into, let me see. It's a couple of more. Next one from Arise hit this one from Counterpunch. And this is the war on terror is the reign of terror. Check out that one. And then next one from Business Insider, Rise posted, the weed-killing chemical involved in Monsanto's latest lawsuit was found in Cheerios and Quaker Oat bars. Here's how worried you should be. Check out that. Rise posted that. And then next one from RT International, five times Israel had no choice and went to war, is what I posted. And then the breaking news, explosive devices found near Bill and Clearly. I already did that one, but I think it was this one's with Obama as well. So that's what's in the news. And I need to get into today's show. Very, very important. And I just have asked that you have an open mind with today's show, because I think it will be very, very important for you to do that and ask questions. And so what I want to do, yesterday, there was on Tuesday, celebrity figurehead Donald Trump was talking about him being a nationalist. And he was proud of it. But see, this is going to be used and it's being played in so many different ways. It has everything to do with the economic disposition and disenfranchisement that is going to continue to unfold. The overall caravan, the overall war around the world, it's all being set up. And there is a particular way that the system loves to establish what Keith, I want you to read that when in between. There's a way that the system always wants to have a major world war to be set up, because it's worked so well before in the past, and it works well, and they don't change anything. And so I want to show you some things that are actually the signals and the warnings of the storm that is upon us. And today's show is the horrors which had come to them. Is going to be something that we can also say as well. The horror which will and has come to us is really what this is about. So, Keith, if you would, I want you to read what a nationalist is from. Where'd you get that definition from?
Yes, Google.
Okay, it's just a Google definition. Hold on, let me let Pastor Keith read it, and then I'm going to give my definition of what one is. And we'll see some non-similarities, because words have dual and double meaning. So here we go. Keith, if you would.
Okay. Definition of nationalism. There's a couple. Patriotic feelings, principles, war efforts. Synonymous with patriotism, patriotic sentiment. Flag waving, xenophobia, chauvinism, jingoism. Their extreme nationalism was frightening. The other one that really got me was when Trump stood at the United Nations, which is an organization to bring the world together peaceably, and he stood up there and he screamed about him being a nationalist. And this is the definition that came to me. An extreme form of this, especially marked by feelings of superiority over other countries, nationalism, advocacy of political independence for a particular country.
Yes, and I want to, Keith, thank you so much. And you're right, he did do that, and it was very significant when he did that, because he was sending a signal to the overall, to many, what was going to be happening. And this is what the system wants. I want to give my definition of what nationalism is, Keith. And the reason why I want to give it, because, and there was a Fox News actual that I posted in there, and they talked about which, you know, the benevolent, well, the happy, positive sides of it all. But there is no such thing.
There is, from their point of view, if you look like
them, right? but there is none. And we actually posted, it was the second thing that we posted, and I said, this is what mainstream media calls nationalism, but is nothing short of evil. Listen, I want you to listen to that video. We're not going to play that because it's longer. We're going to play something else. This is my definition of nationalism. It's the masking that stems from idol worship, that upholds a conspiracy agenda which is rooted in terrorism. A nationalist is a terrorist in lie and wait, because that's really what it is. It's the masking that stems from idol worship. This is why idol worship is so deadly. And they try to. My definition of idol worship would be the overall, where you would actually take a symbol, a non-living entity, it's really basically from my overall personal beliefs. Is when you place anything in front of the great creator, is really what it is. But that's my personal. But it's idol worship is when you take something that is not living and you compromise your morality for the overall symbolic direction of that symbol. And so that is my overall definition of idol worship. Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
Okay, now, I don't want to stomp on your parade because I don't know exactly where you're going with this. But the reason why I asked you what I asked you is I want to put this in a different perspective.
Sure.
That we're very close to, but we probably never looked at. So first off, I'm going to give a background story. And if you go back to the background story, when God was punishing them and they were being bitten by snakes, and what he said was he's going to take the symbol, you remember, and he put it up on a stick and Ray put that snake up on it, and everybody that looked up at that, they would be cured of the snake bite.
Yes.
The reason why I bring up this story in light of what you're talking about, because if you read a little bit farther, what ended up happening was that symbol, which was God-given,
right,
had to be destroyed because the people started worshiping it.
Right.
So listen, the reason why I bring that up is let's kick this forward a little bit again, right? Because what you're talking about was nationalism with terrorism, was one of the largest terroristic groups that ever existed is, and one of the first from my perspective, is the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to scream and holler about Middle Easterners and all of that. The Ku Klux Klan was nothing but a terroristic group.
Right. We agree.
And the symbol that they used, which is why I asked mm-hmm. you, which is so important,
mm-hmm.
was the cross.
Yeah. 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 It was. You can defame anything. And if it doesn't have the overall moral, in my opinion, you know, like I said earlier, if it's absent of the great creator, that's where your idol worship comes into play. But what I want to do real quickly, how much time we have? Okay, cool. I want you to hear celebrity figurehead Donald Trump. And Scotty, if you could, as soon as you're ready to play it, if you would play that. And we're going to play it just from minute 4 minutes and 45 seconds to the end, which is 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
We'll be hurting our companies, we'll be hurting our jobs, and so we'll see what happens. But I should have a pretty good report, a couple of seconds. I should have a pretty good report very soon. Yes, go ahead.
Just to follow up on your comments about being a nationalist, there is a concern that you are sending coded language or a dog whistle some Americans out there that what you really mean is that you're a white nationalist.
I've never even heard that. I cannot imagine that. You mean I'm a nationalist? No, I never heard that theory about being a nationalist. I've heard them all. But I'm somebody that loves our country. When I say a nationalist, I don't like it when Germany's paying 1% of GDP for NATO, and we're paying 4.3%. I don't like that. That's not fair. I don't like it when, as an example, we're protecting Europe, and we're paying for almost the entire cost of NATO. We're paying for a very, very substantial portion, far greater than what it should be. We have great respect for those countries. But on top of that, I don't like it when they put up barriers to our farmers, where our farmers cannot sell into Europe. They have trade barriers that make it, you guys know it better than anybody. They have trade barriers that are as severe as China's trade barriers, which will be coming down. They want to make a deal very badly. They'll be coming down. But I am very proud of our country. We cannot continue to allow what's happened to our country to continue to happen. We can't let it happen. So I'm proud. I'm proud of our country. And I am a nationalist. It's a word that hasn't been used too much. People use it, but I'm very proud. I think it should be brought back. I'm somebody that wants to help other countries of the world, but I also have to take care. We have to take care of our country. We cannot continue to allow ourselves to be duped on military and also duped on trade. With the European Union, as an example, last year on trade, we lost $151 billion. On top of that, we lost hundreds of billions of dollars on protection. So we protect and we get killed. We do the trading and they get killed. Can't do it. I want it to be fair. So I want them to open their borders. I want them to make it fair for our farmers, our companies, our medical companies. They sell medical equipment. They just put restrictions on a year and a half ago where the medical equipment can't get into Europe, even though it's better than what they have. So they have to treat us well. All I want our country is to be treated well, to be treated with respect. For many years, other countries that are allies of ours, so-called allies, they have not treated our country fairly. So in that sense, I am absolutely a nationalist, and I'm proud of it.
Can't
and
hear
he
you.
Said he's proud of
okay,
it.
We got you.
Sorry about that, Scotty. I'm trying to get back on air. And he said that he was proud of it. I want to just say something really quickly before we go into this show and really get it heated up. If you'd like to get in on a call, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, then give us a call, 704-802-5056. And it's something that I want to express when I gave my definition of what nationalism is. And it is nothing short of a conspiracy theory which is rooted in terrorism. A person that has nationalist is a terrorist and lie in wait. And what you're going to see is that celebrity figurehead Trump will be a terrorist and lie in wait. And especially with some of the things that's going on right now with the overall allegations or suspicious packages that's all over the place, all of these things will be destabilized because they will destabilize this because they're going to want to quiet those that won't obey. This is the biggest threat. It's not the individuals that will refuse to comply, obey, follow the rules, think for themselves, and question everything. That's not the threat. The threat to us all, the very threat to us all, is when we will compromise our morality for someone else's agenda, and we won't question, we won't disobey, we won't refuse, we won't question. And those individuals that do this now, they don't want any form of real violence. They don't want this to move into the overall alleyways and in the cogways of the system to have its agenda, but which is through violence, but they want to defend their self-preservation and self-determination, even to the point that, hey, you know what? Is this something that I'm willing to die for in all forms of fashion? And that is, but it's not something that I'm willing to kill for, but it's something that I'm willing to defend my life all the way through. And that's not a statement of being cowardice. It's actually a statement of being just the opposite. The threat to the system, I'll go to Keith in a second, the real threat to the system is those that will comply, conform, become nationalists that will be nothing more than a terrorist and lie in wait. Those that will compromise themselves, those that will say, you know what, I'm just going, you know, I don't want that type of problems. Well, those type, that type of environment, that environment in that overall atmosphere and that paradigm is bigger than your small space. The only way that we can defeat this is if we call it out and refuse to do what we've done before in the past to prevent the horrors which had come to them to have it to come to us. It's very, very important where things are going, and is going to continue to perpetuate, and these are the reasons why we're preparing. I want Keith to jump in real quick, and then we'll come back.
I'm going to try to do it real quick. You brought up somewhat. Yesterday,
hold on to that one. We're going to go back. We're going to go. I'm going to put something out, and we're going to go to that one.
You said, hold on to that.
Hold
I can't
that.
Do that now?
No, don't do that one yet, because it's going to make your point even more critical.
Okay, so yesterday I started making a point, and I was apologizing because I know sometimes my frustration comes out. And my frustration comes out because, like I said, I'm talking to so many individuals that I truly care about that are so set in their ways that they won't listen to what's going on around them. Now, in light of what you're saying, and this is kind of hard for me to make my point because you told me to hold this.
Well, hold on.
But I'm going to hold it. But I'm going to hold it. But we have to understand that when you don't make a decision, you're making a decision.
Yes.
And it kind of reminds me of a movie theater when somebody yells fire.
Yes.
Well, what happens is, because of what's happening all around them and the motion and the crowd and the crowdiness, it's going to push you in a direction of travel regardless of the fact that you want to go the opposite way.
Yeah.
And that's where we're looking at with a lot of this stuff when we're living with our heads in the sand, refusing to make a decision, because if you don't act on these things, later on, you're not going to have a choice. You're going to go where you're forced to go and where they put you without any options.
Yeah, sure. Because the influence and in the momentum is going to be there so much stronger. Right. It is. You know, if it keeps, you know, it's something that you
said, when you choose not to make a decision. I like to put it this way. When you choose not to make a decision, that's because you made your move. Your move was to be stagnant in so many things. Now, that doesn't apply to everything, but it applies exactly to what you're meaning, the purpose of why you said that. And that's so true. When you refuse to choose, you've made your move. You really have made your move. And I think it's going to be very important that they're going to try to get rid of Black Talk Radio Network, Candle Radio Show, and all others that will speak out against what's happening and say, no, we don't want to go in this way that has gotten us here before. And these methods and these tools are really being utilized for an objective. And it's multifaceted. It's asymmetrical. It's not something that we can trust. And the key to being able to defeat that is never to be in likeness with it at all. It's to remove yourself and your energy. Refuse. Rebuff it. You have to stand against. And that standing against could be something that where you may have to be steadfastly entrenched. And it's very, very important. I hope you all heard what celebrity figurehead Trump said. And in the things, Keith wanted to, we got, you're good. We got 8 minutes before we go to the break. Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
I just want to make a statement opinion. And in that completeness that you're talking about, you say they don't want to put us to where we got here. It is my opinion that in this country, they literally want to turn and have efforts to turn the clock back to 1861.
because I truly believe that they have full intentions of bringing back slavery as we've known it in the past. I truly believe that. And if you look at what's going on all over the country, and you've mentioned them a little bit, but you, I haven't heard you elaborate on them, but we've got internment camps all over this country. All over this country. So those things that we're looking at where they're locking up the children and all of that, they have these camps. The same things that they have World War II with the Japanese where they locked them up, they have built these things all over the country. My question is, who are those for?
And, you know, if you listen to Scotty's show, New Abolitionist Radio, and everything, what Scotty's platform has always been about, that the 13th Amendment never abolished enslavement, is absolutely, this is all tied in together. Scotty had put this inside of the chat. I discussed this on BTR Community yesterday and was watching MSNBC, and I would say mainstream network built criminals, because you know, always got to have an acronym for all of these, and they were pushing the white nationalist dog whistle interpretation. I was not falling for it, because he was discussing it in the contents of globalism, no different than him saying America first. Absolutely, Scotty, and there's some very, very important things. And when we come out of this commercial break, I want to read something to you all that's very, very significant. Then, Keith, I want you to make that point. And, oh, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you just a second ago? Okay. So,
hey, Dave.
Very significant. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, just to give further context. So I was watching MSNBC. You know, I don't watch these cable networks on a regular basis, but I was just channel surfing. And I came across this report. So he was in Nevada at a rally, you know, get out the vote rally, apparently, cause early voting started in Nevada. And so he was talking about globalism, and he was saying that, hey, there are some people think that we're supposed to take care of the entire world, and I'm not like that. I'm a nationalist. And he never said America first, but he'd been saying that his entire campaign. So then they brought on the commentators, and then they started, you know, MSNBC trying to tie it to white nationalism. Oh, is this a dog whistle? And I was like, and like what I said in BTR Community is, I feel like a lot of times people like to cry racism where you don't have any clear evidence of that. And I don't, yes, he has a white national, well, I can't say that for certain. Him and his father practiced racism in their housing units back in the 70s, wouldn't, you know, give them. During the campaign, yes, he absolutely was giving white nationalists or racist dog whistles. But given what he said yesterday and the context of what he said, I didn't find that to be racist. And I feel like a lot of times these networks, they will use the race card just to get people into their emotions, and people just run with it, okay? And so that's what I was saying. I didn't hear, given the context to him talking about globalism and then saying, you know, I'm not a globalist, I'm a nationalist. I was looking at it in that context, America first, because that's what he's always said. Now, he can say that all he wants to say, but he is a globalist. Like I told Paul Joseph Watson of Prison Planet, who is a employee of Alex Jones, and you know, and I was telling him Trump is a globalist. I was like, what do you call it when I said Trump has said things that make you think he ain't a globalist, and he's threatening to pull troops out of Afghanistan and other places, but he hasn't done it. That's global. I said America is the American government. Let me put it this way. The U.S. government is the biggest globalist on the planet, because they're trying to dictate to everybody else what they can and cannot do. And when he talked about that caravan and threatening to take the money away, which he, by the Constitution, can't do because Congress controls the purse strings and what have you. But I was like, if he did that, that'd be a good thing, because that goes into what y'all were talking about yesterday about being dependent on the U.S. government. These other countries have become dependent on the U.S. government and accept that money or that currency from the U.S. government in exchange for giving up their sovereignty.
You man, Scotty, this is going to be a very, very important show. And you know what, Scotty, you said something that you usually don't watch mainstream media, and I don't either. And it's so funny, you know, when you start to, because we are all seeing that, hey, something is really wrong. Let me check this and let me check that. That's because we still understand it. Our thing is always to try to discern what's the intentions and what's the devil in the details in this whole thing. What's really behind it? And so, Scotty, it was so funny when you said that, because I don't watch mainstream media at all. But yesterday, it moved, my spirit was moved into doing that. In between the things that I needed to do, something told me I needed to be doing this, and I did it. And it was something that Keith said to me. We went to lunch, something that Keith said to me, and it all came to full fruition afterwards. And I'm going to definitely get into that. Listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Before we do that, I hope you really listen to what celebrity figurehead Trump said. When we come back, I want to give you some historical insight on what the real intentions is. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay. Welcome back to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Now, I need you to have an open mind for what we're about to do. It is not going to be pleasant, but it is going to be something that you need to know historically and tie this all together. The choice is up to you on how you interpret it, but I just wanted to give my opinion about it all and bring it to you so that you will be in a better position and fully armed with what you need to do. If you listen to celebrity figurehead Trump yesterday on the video we just played, it was very, very significant. And it says a lot about what the true mantra is. And when Scotty said the U.S. government is completely a globalist, absolutely, they practice manifest destiny. They manifest destiny begot it, the Third Reich of Nazi Germany. It bore it out. And so what I want to do is I want to go back to an old article. And this old article goes back to 1934. And it was out of the Green Bay Press Gazette in Wisconsin. And this article is from June the 4th of 1934. I want to read it to you. Says Uncle Ray's Corner. Uncle Ray was the overall Uncle Ray's Corner was Uncle Ray was the person that wrote the column. And it says, Martin, Leaders of Men, Part 3, Adolf Hitler. Listen to his writing. During the World War, at least 1,750,000 Germans were killed. This terrible loss does much to explain the overthrow of the German Kaiser. It was natural that people should blame their rulers for the horror which had come to them. Where I got today's name of show from. Adolf Hitler's picture is there. After the throne was taken from the Kaiser, a German republic was declared. Both men and women were given the rights to vote for president and for lawmakers who formed the Reichstag. Frederick Ebert was chosen the first president. Ebert was a socialist, remained in office until his death in 1925. While he was serving as president, a little man of Bavaria was plotting against him. The little man was a corporal during the World War. His name was Adolf Hitler. In 1923, Hitler gathered a few men together to march on Berlin. The attempt was a failure. Hitler was sentenced to prison for 5 years, but he was allowed to go free long before his term was up. There was a reason why he was let loose early. The people laughed at him and thought he was of little importance. Those who laughed were wrong. The little corporal may have been of small measure as a person, but there was power in the force which it was possible for him to muster. Germany was suffering. Germany was suffering. Peace could not take away the horrid results of the war. In addition to the human loss, there was a war debt of such size that staggered the mind. $31,000 million was the amount Germany had been ordered to pay the victors. The debt was cut down by the Allies, but their efforts to pay the sum required each year the Germans groaned. They felt they had been ill-treated. Let me say that again. They felt that they were being ill-treated. Where did you hear that before? Celebrity figurehead Trump has been saying that nonstop in the campaign and as president. We're not getting treated fairly. We're not getting treated fairly. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. See, this is the overall systematic coding that is being done, and this is what Adolf Hitler was all about, because he was about, and he came into position because he said the debt that you have is because you're being ill-treated. You're not being treated fairly. This was his mantra. This is how this little man became the overall enormous elephant in the room. Let me continue. Adolf Hitler, out of prison, took advantage of the groans. He told people that he would make Germany great again. He blamed Jews, socialists, communists, and others for the troubles of the land. Move this down. His blazing speeches gained followers for his cause. Let me read that paragraph again for you. Adolf Hitler, out of prison, took advantage of the groans. Who has been taking advantage of the groans? Who has actually placed those groans there? The nationalists have. He goes on. He told people that he would make Germany great again. Do I need to tell you all where you've been hearing that and where that comes from? Hitler said he would make Germany great again. Celebrity figurehead Trump, as a nationalist, is saying make the U.S. great again. And so, but Keith is going to chime in. Hold on, Keith. He's like going crazy over here. I'm going to get to you. Adolf Hitler was out of prison, took advantage of the groans. He told people that he would make Germany great again. He blamed Jews, socialists, communists, and others for the trouble of the land. His blazing speeches gained followers from his cause. Where have you seen that before? With the consent of the old and feeble, Hindenburg, second president of the Republic, Hitler became chancellor last winter, and he used the office to pave the way for seizing complete power over Germany. The ill treatment which Hitler and his stormtroopers had given to the Jews had shocked the world. But that is only a small part of the sad, sad story. And that was the end of the column. And it says here, it says, oh, sorry, it goes on. In my visit to Germany, I found the people friendly and helpful. And it is my hope that days
off
with better leaders are ahead for them. He says he was hoping that days of better leaders is ahead for them. And then he said that the next article was going to be about, tomorrow's article is going to be about Franklin D. Roosevelt. Copyright from Uncle Ray, copyright from 1934 from the Green Bay Press Gazette. And here is where you find where celebrity figurehead Trump, nationalism, and he's being proud of it, is the idol worship of the same Third Reich of Nazi Germany, and this is the overall purpose. Here's, I got to read something else from you, and this is from Hitler's speech himself. This is an excerpt of Hitler in February of 1920, February the 24th, 1940. Man, my phone blows up. In February the 24th of 1940, here's what it said. Only inferior personalities, this is Hitler, quote, only inferior personalities were at the helm at that time. The German people had nothing to do with their failure. If at that time I, as the representative of a new political ideal, appeared in this hall, I do so as a representative of these millions of individual Germans who had not broken down like the old party and the old political forms. Quote from Hitler, the German people themselves had to be aided, to be raised to become the guardians of their right. The Great War had proven German strength, but we had to create a state of affairs under which we would be able to mobilize this strength. Adolf Hitler, quote, nationalism and socialism had to be refined, and they had to be blended into one strong new ideal to carry out new strength, which would make Germany great again. That was Adolf Hitler's speech in February of 1940. Keith is over here going crazy. He wants to chime in. I'm going to let Keith chime in, and then we'll come back. Go ahead, Keith.
Dave, there's so much in what you said. And the parallels, again, and I talked to you earlier today, if you look at the parallels between what Trump is doing and how Hitler rose to power, the parallels are just one after another. But in an interview where you see all this dividing and stuff, they interview Hitler. And they said, Hitler, what would you have done if there were no Jews? And he said, I would have invented them. Right. What he's talking about is nothing will bring a people together better than a common enemy. And that's the lot that we have held in this country from the time that it started. Whenever there was anything that's going on that was huge, it always went back to the black people. And we held the same position for the same reasons that Hitler used the Jews. But the other thing is that you talked about is it gets a little bit deeper than that. Because what Trump said, even from the time he was campaigning, if you can't remember, he said, and I'm the only one who can fix it. I'm the only one who can fix it. The last thing that we're talking about. What about that point that you wanted to bring out?
Yeah, bring that point up.
I had sent out something a while back, and it really struck me. And what it was is that it says this. Dave, I lost it.
No, you didn't lose it. Keith will bring it up. And you know,
okay,
here it is. Here go, Keith.
So, and this is why this is important, because this is why I feel as though this is so impactful for us again, and why we have to be prepared. And in this, it has a picture of, well, it's got a series of two, one of Donald and one of Hitler, one of Donald, one of Hitler. And the poses that they're in these pictures are almost identical to one another.
It's a body language.
It's body language.
Which sends a message just like a verbal communication.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So what he says is, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. That was by Voltaire.
Mm-hmm.
And why that struck me so much, Dave, is because quite a while ago, I was looking at this thing on Nazi Germany. And one of the things that they brought out that they had never brought out before, because they talked about how the citizens were victims. Well, what they had brought out in this documentary that they hadn't brought out before was when they were committing these mass murders, when and I hate to get graphic, but it talked about how graphic some of these were. And a lot of them, what they would do is they line up in long lines, and they would just gun them down. But these things were so nasty that what they would do...
Gun gauntlet.
Right. These things were so nasty, what they would make the women do is they make them hold their babies up in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sure to get a good shot at the baby first, and then they killed the woman.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I bring this out that they had never brought out before was what they covered up was the townspeople would all come out and observe these things, very similar to how the people would come out and avoid and observe the lynchings back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big carnival event for them. And again, that's exactly where we're going,
mm-hmm.
step by step.
It breeds nationalism.
Absolutely.
It breeds nationalism that in... Keith, you know, it was yesterday when you and I were at lunch, and you said to me, you know, Hitler said part of his campaign was, I'll make Germany great again. And I knew that was true, but I wanted to go and show where this was actually the doctrine, because this is something from the past that they're using because it worked so well before. The same conditions, if you read what happened, if you read what was happening in Germany, is the exact same thing that is orchestrated and what was used and is happening right now. And if you listen to, it's not just Donald Trump. It's not just Donald Trump. It was celebrity figurehead Barack as well. See, in these seats of authority, you can be a serial killer without you'll get your hands dirty, but you will never ever be held to answer. There is no legal recourse against these individuals, and we're looking at things all wrong. We're not looking at them for their deeds and what they do. You can't justify killing millions of people unless you're a nationalistic sociopath or psychopathic.
Hey, Dave.
Or you're a psychopath. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
You mentioned Obama. Remember, it was during his administration that the CIA basically kidnapping people, sending them to secret sites to torture them. That was all uncovered due to, I think his name is Jeffrey Skilling. But it was a black CIA agent who just got out of prison. He was the only one prosecuted because he blowed the whistle. Nobody, you know, and they promoted Gina Haspel. So that tells you everything you need to know about this government.
Gina Haspel, Scotty, tell everybody who she is.
Gina Haspel was a high-ranking CIA official. I think she was stationed in the Philippines where, you know, they had a secret site where they were taking people to torture them for information. Some people reportedly also died as a result. And this came up as a subject of her confirmation hearings to become the new CIA director. And, you know, she was confirmed and she is now the new CIA director. So that tells you all you need to know. And when it comes to, you know, I agree with you on the issue of being a political atheist. I do vote and I will continue to vote. I'm going to vote hopefully today. I got a cousin. She's running for Gaston County Commissioner. And so I definitely want to vote for her. But I don't subscribe to political parties. I'm not a Democrat.
Right.
I'm not a Republican. I'm not anything. I look at what the person's saying. I try to gather information about the character and what policies are you proposing that's going to have an effect on me, either, you know, to my detriment or to my benefit. And when I say me, I'm not talking about me personally, but I'm talking about my community. And so,
Scotty, you don't need to even give your overall reason why, because you created and you have a platform called Black Talk Radio Network, which speaks volumes as to where your overall compassion and what the truth is. Your actions dictate your overall creed, because your creed is defined by your deeds.
So what I'm saying is there, you know, there really is, especially when it comes to foreign policy and, you know, this stuff with these torture programs, those are bipartisan programs, man. All of them support it.
Yep. Yep, definitely. And that's very, very important. And, you know, it was, if you look at what Hitler, what Uncle Ray was saying about Hitler, Uncle Ray could write a new article and he could have it as the leaders of nations now, and he wouldn't have to change much for the U.S. current spot. Not at all. Keith wants to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
You know, and the other thing is, Dave, there's an old adage that we all know. Those that don't know their past are doomed to repeat it. And that kind of comes out in this conversation because we're still way out of content. Yeah. Because if you look at what's going on, what Hitler did, Hitler wasn't the first.
No.
He did the exact same thing that Stalin did.
Just the most
famous. And we can go all the way back to...
just the poster boy, the most famous.
Sure. Even if you go back to the word, and I thought this was interesting because we talk about a lot of people don't know what the term means preterist is. What a preterist is that they believe that all prophecy in the Bible has already been fulfilled. Before you think that that's absurd, the reason why they feel that way is because they're right. So when you study the word, what you'll find is there have been many antichrists already. Right. Mm-hmm. And it just goes on a cycle. You know, there was a antichrist that when Jesus told them to get out of Jerusalem and spread the word throughout the world, guess what they did?
What's that?
Nothing. They sat right there. It wasn't until an antichrist rose and started persecuting the Jews that they got out of Dodge. So my point is, if you look all the way back from there, this playbook from a rise to an antichrist, which is what Hitler was, which was what Stalin was, which we go all the way back to the Roman Empire, the playbook has
been almost the same throughout history. This thing didn't start with Hitler. This thing has been going on from the beginning of time, and the way that they did it, the parallels are mind-blowing all the way through.
All the way through. And one of the things is that I'm glad that you brought up, that Hitler wasn't the only one. He was just the poster child. He is just the overall celebrity figurehead that they use as a tool for that convenience. It's all of them in so many ways, in so many fashions. The ones that you've been taught to love and taught to identify with, when you look at the true deeds of what they supported or what they were a part of and what they refused to say no on. See, it goes back to what you said. They made no decision, but they made their move. These, all of them, are Hitlerish. All of them are been a part of this whole thing, because that's what, how this program is set up. And you know, it was something else that you said, Keith, that I thought was very significant. I'll come back to it. I forgot it that quick. But I want to just say this real quickly before we go into the commercial break. We got a little bit, but I want to say this. In this article says this: while Hitler never plastered "Make Germany Great Again" on baseball caps, he did insist that he was going to fulfill his promise. So I'm honestly not sure why people don't see it. If we were allowed from some kind of rough translation from the era of German into English from the 1940s, the speech is still ideally the same as in talking about one of the speeches that Trump made would make America great again.
Hey, Dave.
But here's the thing. Yeah, hold on one second. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I'm trying to figure out, how did Hitler and the Nazis become the standard of evil in the world, you know, in history? Yeah. When Hitler and the Nazis, and this is documented, modeled their eugenics programs, you know, killing people, sterilizing people. They modeled their programs after the United States programs. They even sent people here to study those programs. And they based their German race law, which made it, quote unquote, legal for them to target the Jews, the gypsies, and anybody else they designated as an enemy of the state. But they based their race law on U.S. Jim Crow laws. And even in his book, Mein Kampf, he gave glowing reviews and a shout out to the United States. So my question is, I know the answer to my question, so it's a rhetorical question. It's because of propaganda, U.S.-based propaganda, to make Hitler and the Nazis the poster child of world evil, when Hitler was just following the model of the United States. And he just went a little bit further than what the United States was doing. And then you got to think about it. The United States, the only reason they were perfectly okay, in my opinion, with Hitler marching across Europe and doing what he was doing, and they only entered the World War II not to attack Germany, but because of Japan.
Yeah, exactly. And the newfound weapons that they got from the German scientists. And Scotty is absolutely right. I'm trying to hold Keith back in a minute. We're going to get to Keith real quick. So it's so true. And Scotty, I'm so thankful that you brought that up, because that is so, so true. They modeled so much. They both modeled so much after each other. So Manifest Destiny begotted the Third Reich of Nazi Germany. And they were economically supported by the bankers from the U.S., Prescott Bush being one of them, and the overall corporations from all the ones, Ford, DuPont, and all of those were big into supporting that overall. And don't forget the Roman Catholic Church influence and significance with Hitler himself. So Keith wants to chime in. Let's go to Keith. He said, right now, David, don't you, right now. So here we go. Go ahead, Keith. Sorry, we got to get ready to go to a commercial. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead, Keith. We got to do it. Go ahead.
It wasn't right now that I had to do it, because it was so significant. It's right now because I'm getting old, I forget. But
it goes back to what Scotty was saying, because Scotty went from Germany to the United States. But if you look at what was going on, United States held partnerships with Germany during all this time.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back, and I think you made the point about how they took the Germans and brought them to the United States, because they're the ones that ultimately finished up the design and the manufacturing of the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But it was much more involved with that. You made up some, not made up some things, but you brought up points about how Germans furthered science. In a lot of ways, they really did. But they did them in dastardly ways. If you look at the medical experiments and stuff that they did,
yes,
they came out with a whole lot of medical stuff. But like I said, they did it in such an inhumane, nasty, evil, torturous way.
Mm-hmm.
The United States was in partnerships with Germany lot of that stuff.
Yes, and they stayed in those fields to this day. And the U.S. was definitely a part of that whole thing, you know. You know, and one thing before we get ready to go to the commercial break, I want to just say this. Let me just read you this really quickly. But the fact that the newspaper quoted Hitler as saying that he was going to make Germany great again, Hitler said he was going to, quote, make Germany great again, verbatim, certainly is terrifying. As a reminder, the only book we know for certain that Donald Trump has ever read outside of his own is the book of Hitler's speeches he kept next to his bed in the 1990s, according to his ex-wife. So this is the tool that the system always likes to use. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And today's show is just that, you know, with the overall migrant caravan that's coming, we've moved into a different space and sphere, Keith. And this space and sphere is going to really explodes, and it's going to take many different forms. And my man Scotty said they got a lot of medical advances from Japan too, who was conducting experiments on the people of Asia nations they occupied. Yes, Japanese. One of the things in World War II was that the last thing you ever wanted to be done was caught by Japanese military. The Japanese were brutal to the Philippines.
Brutal.
In the Philippines. They were brutal to the Chinese. To the point where China, to this very, very point, says, we haven't forgotten. They were absolutely diabolical. They actually took their overall sword and disembodied pregnant women, the child from the mother. They were brutal, known as the most brutal.
Now remember, not to cut you off.
Yep.
But you remember, those were the identical tactics that the slave owners were doing on the slaves.
Yes. This was all learned. See, this is the process of subjugation that the system perpetuates. And today, this is not going to be a popular message, a popular show. But we're not here for that. We're here to open your minds to the truth. Because the truth doesn't need you or nor I.
But I and you need the truth. And then there will be decisions that you should be able to have the overall moral constitution to make the tough decisions that were necessary. And in order to be in a position that you want to be in, a position of advantage, it behooves of us all to be prepared for them. Because what you're starting to see with the overall changing of everything here, which is the target from everything, soon they will try to, there will be a massive move against mainstream media, against Black Talk Radio Network, against Tando Radio Show, against me personally. But that's okay, because it's okay to die when you fight for life, because prosperity surely comes. It's okay to sacrifice. It's okay to lose. It don't feel good, but your feelings aren't eternal. It's your spirit that is. And this whole setup, soon you won't be able to send anything from one person to another part of the state without the overall state saying, because of terrorism, we need to have more security and we need to be involved in every single thing that you do. You need our permission slip to move. Where did they institute this? They instituted in your schools, where you couldn't walk the halls without a permission slip, without authorization.
See them in the German movies when they ask, where are your papers?
And where did they get that from?
Slave trade.
Where did they get that from? There is a methodology, a nomenclature to subjugation, to enslavement. And this nomenclature has worked so very well, because here's the problem. The horror comes because the people allow it to form. When we allow this to form, when we don't look at the past, we lay the path for it to become our future. We have actually paved the way for this to be reignited. And that flame has never been extinguished. Because one of the things that you have to do to put a flame out is either it has to be done this way and only this way. You have to remove the energy source. And it takes energy sometimes to blow a fire out. But how do you really extinguish a fire? Is you remove the energy. There's a burning that is consuming. We got another caller in queue. Definitely want to go to him. It's Brother Davis. So let me go to Brother Davis. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you? Good, always good to hear the voice.
The voice of a friend. Absolutely. Absolutely. Great show, brother. Great show as usual. I think you bring out a lot of points. Also, we want to also get people to realize that Donald Hope gives the poor and ignorant hope, while he literally ridicules the migrant. And now, a lot of us fail to realize that hope that he gives the poor and ignorant is only positioning themselves to spread more fear. Because literally, this whole election's about fear. People are fearing Trump getting power and sustaining it. Other people are fearing that if they don't vote, that they're giving him permission. It doesn't make a difference now. And why do I say it doesn't make a difference? Because you have no control. When you go in that voting booth, it don't make no difference who you vote for. They've demonstrated that to you. Now, they want you to think it makes a difference, but don't think they got their candidate already picked out. I mean, when they take away your right to even see the process, they literally move you out of the equation. The sad part about it is that this all goes back to what I was saying. These people are losing their leverage and power. Their fear is greater now than ever before. You got the proverbial mad dog cornered. And they know in this next 7 to 8 years, they've got a lot of problems that they really can't escape. Now, here's what you really want to see in this election. Where are the white women voting? If the white women are fed up, you're going to see a change. If they kowtow to the political structure, this is going to be longer. But either way it goes, fear should not be a part of the process, but that's what's pushing the process. And it's all because of the propaganda of what people think death is like, because in reality they still don't know. Don't nobody know. But they do know this, they don't want to die. Sad part about it, that's what's being used against them too. There are five, and this is the last statement I'm going to make, there are five energies, period. And you can tap into every one of these energies. There's the energy of the earth, which is geocultural, I got so many things on mind. There's the energy of the earth, there's the energy of the fire, which is solar, there's the energy of the wind, there's the energy of space, which is the cosmos, and there's the energy of water, which is gravity. All of these here things we could tap into, but yet everybody's focusing on this election. That they already know the machines are made by a company that's controlled by politicians, and they're owned by a company that are politicians. This is when you deal with this political system, regardless of what they want you to think, it's a no-win scenario. So it's going to burn itself out probably after this election or the next. I doubt if there's going to be if there's another president beyond Trump. I doubt if there's going to be three more presidents. I seriously doubt it. You know why? Because the system is imploding. Every structure, from government to religion, is imploding. The trust is going out the window, and the people are walking around in a daze, which is good. You know why? That means they have to help themselves. They have to do it themselves. We keep looking for somebody to come in on a white horse. They ain't coming, y'all. Prepare for the worst, and I'm telling you, you'll be much more prepared than you think. I'm telling you this from personal experience. But prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Because in reality, you can't stop this. We could talk about it. We could say what we're doing in reference to it. But these people now, they have created a fear in themselves, not just here, all over the world. Every country is going through this sort of uprising or something similar. And don't take my word for it, because you know what I always say, do your own due diligence. Them people ain't coming up here in a caravan from South America for nothing. So there's something going in South America. If you watch European news, there's something going on in Europe, China, all over the world. This is due, and it's going to run its course, and not everybody is going to make it. So do what you think is going to be best and suitable for you, because what is the real work is when we get beyond this. Let's work to get there. And then we can literally get rid of a whole lot of these things that have been the structures to stop us from communicating as humans. And the sad part about that is that a lot of us have gotten used to it because we like it. And when I say they like it, they don't want this to come, because they like where it's at. All these jobs coming out here now, they making money. They ain't making no money. They're being pacified. So wake up, y'all, because I'm going to tell you something. Learn how to breathe. Learn how to eat. Learn how to plant. Learn how to teach. Learn something that will be useful in the restructuring. Thank you, brother. I appreciate the opportunity. And as usual, you have a great show, man.
Brother Davis, greatly appreciate. And, you know, it's some of this, you've always been true to that. Do what it is that you can, because let's get to where we need to get to. And I greatly appreciate you, and always want, this is a show you always need to go back and listen over and over again. My man Scotty had wanted to chime in as well, and he said some things, but Brother Davis, give my regards to Sister Davis. Greatly, greatly appreciate you. And I remember the day, hey, David, we need to get to the other side if we can. That's what we need to, that's where our goal should be. And I greatly, greatly appreciate you. So my man Scotty wanted to chime in. Scotty said something that was so cool and relevant in talking about Roosevelt, and I thought that it was true, because it once he said it, I said, wow, okay, cool, I get it now too. So I wanted Scotty to chime in before we get out of here as well. Scotty, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. All I was saying was I get what Roosevelt was saying when he said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, because fear is paralyzing. Now, again, Roosevelt was a racist. Remember, his New Deal excluded black people from getting Social Security and the other benefits that they had for poor white people. So, you know, I'm not trying to say that he's anybody that should be looked up to, but I'm saying, you know, the truth is the truth no matter who tell it, as Malcolm X said. And so I just really get now what he meant by the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Because people are afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying. I've said that more than once. That, you know, I'm prepared. I'm prepared. When people talk about preparedness, I'm prepared to die, if that's what it comes down to. I don't have any fear of death. You know, I just don't, because of my spiritual upbringing and my spiritual beliefs. You know, I think there's a better place than this awful planet that we call Earth. You know, hopefully things can change. But I do want to say something about voting, because I was talking to people yesterday about it. Okay, if you don't vote, don't vote. You have your reasons for not voting, but don't tell other people not to vote. If it don't matter, then let them do something that don't matter. But I've seen too many instances of where it does matter. I'm not talking about geopolitics. I'm not talking about even national politics. I'm talking about local politics. I'm talking about state politics. This guy asked me, give me an example where voting has changed anything. So I gave him a recent example. The three strikes laws in California, putting people in prison slavery for life over petty crimes. Oh, you steal something worth $10 three times, you going to prison for life. Okay, well, some people put a ballot initiative on during their last election, Prop 57. What Prop 57 did was end three strikes, and is going to free 4,000 people that's in prison slavery right now. So to me, that's an example of voting mattering to those 4,000 people. And like I said to the armchair revolutionaries and pessimists and what have you, I didn't see anybody busting those 4,000 people out of prison. You know, slavery is happening right now, but we don't act like it's happening. We don't, you know, it's just not at the top of the list of our concern. And, you know, that kind of concerns me, that we can't even see what's right in front of our face. But, you know, the old saying goes, if you want to hide something from people, put it in the book. Well, that book is the U.S. Constitution, and people haven't read that Constitution to see all the loopholes and as Kanye said, the trap doors that they put in there to put people into slavery. So that's all I wanted to add. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're trying to get out of here. We can't hear you, Dave.
I was like, oh, shoot, I'm trying to unmute myself, and Keith over here laughing at me, trying to unmute. Keith wanted to chime in real quick. Definitely, great, man, great, great show. But Keith, let me go ahead, because we're running out of time. Go ahead, Keith.
I'll be real fast. No, I just want to piggyback on a couple of things that Scotty said. One is a Bible verse, Scotty, and it says, don't fear the man that can take your life. Fear the person that can take your soul. So in reference to your fear that you're talking about. The other thing that you were talking about, voting, I just want to say my opinion real fast on that, is the fact that I don't believe, and I told Dave several times, I don't believe that this vote is going to make a hill of a beans difference. I think it's already a done deal. With that being said, I agree with you, Scotty. I tell everybody that they need to go vote. If not for any reason, we don't know what God is going to do and how he's going to do it. And the reason why I bring that up, I was listening about prophecy a couple of years ago, what was going on, and it looked like all this stuff was already in place because all the pieces were in place. Well, we could put all the pieces in place to line up with prophecy. Those things haven't happened yet, and it's 2 or 3 years later. My point is, we can look on things as we look on things, and we're called to do that. But still, we don't know what we don't know. And when you don't vote, it's kind of like I was telling somebody the other day. I was telling them, well, last night, I told them that somebody won the lottery, and I said, I should have won that lottery. I should have. I believe that. The only problem is I never bought a ticket, but I should have won it anyway. And that's kind of how this vote thing is. You can't even dream of accomplishing nothing if you never took a step in that direction. Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Hey, Keith, and again, it's not always about voting for a person. We have ballot initiatives where they're trying to change the North Carolina Constitution to the detriment of the people, okay? And just trying to stack the deck further against us. In Colorado, they're voting to remove the exception clause from their constitution that allows for slavery as punishment for crime. So when we talk about voting, we need to realize that there are local ballot initiatives that might be for your county, it might be for your state, they might be trying to change the constitution like they're trying to do here with six different amendments in North Carolina, and then, you know, them trying to end slavery as a legal institution in Colorado with Amendment A, which would be on the ballot. So it's not always you going to vote for a person to have a political office, but things that's going to affect you locally and, well, your state is local, okay? So that's all I wanted to add.
Yeah, you know what? It's a great, and I'm going to tell you something. Everything has valid, and this is our community. And I think what Brother Davis and my standpoint is the validation of the vote is really, really in question because it's never certified. It's verified by their count, and that's the only thing that really, because you all brought up great examples of the necessity of it all, and if the people want that, then I would never ever stand against that, but it's just a matter of the validation of it is where the question
lies.
Let
me ask this question, Dave,
with that whole thing.
Let me ask this question for those that are concerned about vote flipping, and that's an issue in Georgia right now that I've been reading.
Yeah,
they got these old Diebo voting electronic voting machines,
right.
And the NAACP has filed a complaint in three different counties representing eight voters who were trying to vote for one person for governor, and the vote flipped. That actually happened to me back during Bush first election. Not the senior Bush, but the junior Bush. I was trying to vote for Ralph Nader.
But when he was running against Gore, right?
Yeah. And the vote flipped. Watched it right in front of my face flip. Well, we don't have those voting machines anymore in North Carolina.
Who were we voting for at that time, Scotty? Because I was voting for, the guy's name, the independent guy.
Ross Perot?
You remember?
Was it Ross Perot or Nader?
No. It was somebody. It happened to me too.
It was Nader. It was Nader. I believe it was Nader.
It was Nader.
Yeah,
exactly.
If I remember correctly.
It was Nader. We were
so these things do. These things do happen, but you can also become part of those groups that count the vote. These are election. I mean, we have local election boards, okay? And you can volunteer. You can be a poll watcher. You could, you know, you need to look up how the process goes and how can you get in there to make sure, you know, that people's votes are counting. But to me, you know, it's one thing to start to state a problem. It's another thing to come up with the solution to that problem. You know, that's why I'm supporting my cousin, because I've known her all her life. I know she's a person of integrity and what have you. And I know that this county board here in this county that I live in has kept going up on our property taxes and stuff like that. And so I want to vote for people that's going to lower my taxes and what have you. So I just wanted to add that.
You know what, Scotty, I think is Brother Davis and my approach on this is the same as everyone's here. We firmly believe and we firmly want where we all collectively decide. This is why we have collective prudence in the best direction of things. Is the only question was the authenticating of that whole process and the significant parts of that, because there are always going to be exceptions to everything. And so, no, I'm in full agreement with everything that, and I would never ever tell anyone not to vote. I've never said that, and Brother Davis has never said that. It's the matter of, I've always said if only mattered, it would be illegal. And that was only to spark the overall dialogue.
Yeah, but it is illegal, Dave. It is illegal, because I brought that up yesterday. Somebody said that to me. I said, well, another thing that's on the ballot in the state of Louisiana is to restore the voting rights of millions of felons. Okay, that's also on the ballot in Florida. So it is illegal for certain classes of people to vote. And I brought up the 14th Amendment, which granted citizenship to victims of slavery and free black people whose citizenship was not being recognized by the Supreme Court. That was the, you know, that was the, what was it? The, what's the guy's name? It happened in Missouri. In the 14th Amendment, we all talk about, most people talk about how it defines who's a U.S. citizen if you're born here, but they don't read the other sections. And in this, in section, I think it's section 4, because we were going over this in New Abolitionist Radio. In that amendment, a lot of people don't pay attention to the fact that it says that you lose your voting rights as a citizen if you're convicted of a crime. Now, it don't say felony. It don't say misdemeanor. No. It just say crime. So that was a deliberate effort to strip voting rights from newly minted citizens, because they ain't want black people voting. So they made it, they put loopholes in there to make it illegal. Here in North Carolina, we just had 11 people prosecuted for voting in the primaries because they didn't know you have to first complete your probation after you get out of prison before you can vote. You don't have to do anything. Once your probation is up, you can automatically vote. But they prosecuted 11 people who didn't know that. So it is illegal for millions of people across this country to vote.
Here in Texas as well. And you know what, Scotty, they also, and as you know, in the gubernatorial race against Kemp, where they're saying that people have to have everything match on their ID.
Yeah, their signatures.
Would you say, Scotty?
They're saying, like, for example, if a person, I want y'all to write your signature, you know, what you sign on your checks or whatever.
Right.
Okay, write it 20 times. It's not going to exactly be the same every time.
Right.
It's going to be different variations to it. So what Kemp did in Georgia was say, if it don't match the signature that's on file with the Social Security Administration when you sign your Social Security card or your driver's license, then they're going to put your registration on hold. And they put over 53,000 people's registration on hold and then didn't even tell them.
And that's the whole thing that needs to be mitigated, and it needs to be mitigated by the people. And so that's my overall approach. Man, great show. No, Keith, we gotta go. Keith, Pastor Keith, we gotta go. No, Keith wanted to say one more thing. Okay,
you know.
All right, good night, everybody. No, I'm just like, here we go. Go ahead, Keith.
And you know what's irritating about these conversations, listening to Scotty, what bothers me is what he says. And what I mean by that, not by what he said, but the fact that we're having these discussions. And North Dakota, they deem that you cannot vote unless you have a street address on your ID.
On your ID, right.
Now we know post office box. Right. We know there are no street addresses on the reservation.
Right.
I mean, we don't even have to talk about this. But yet they enact it.
Because it's a software. Exactly. They knew exactly what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's all
nationalism. It's nationalism at the heart. Man, great, great show. Appreciate you all. Just want to appreciate the callers, Brother Davis, Scotty for chiming in, you, Keith, for being a part of it, everyone listening. And I just want to say this before we get out of here. The changing of things that you're going to see is going to be the reasons why we prepare. And this thing is going to continue to move into the direction of the past, and that past is going to bring about another World War III that's going to turn into Global Nuclear War I. There was something Putin said, and I didn't get to play it for you all, but I thought it was significant. And Putin said this about the United States: they can offer us nothing. And when someone can never offer you anything, it's because you don't have anything that I want. So there can be no compromise of your constitution, your moral, benevolent constitution. Very, very, very important. Much love, much respect. Just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up in the months leading up to the military intervention.